Welcome back to the second hour of the home of explanations. You've got more than money, and we are explaining actually, we're not explaining everything, because we got a couple calls off air that I absolutely have no opinion on. I cannot explain. Not only can I not explain the answer, I can't explain why they would ask the question.
Well, it's more than money.
Exactly. That's a very good point. It is more than money. I'll straighten you right out on a whole bunch of things. Now, this is not straightening you out, because I know I'm speaking to the choir here. First, I'm going to talk to the altos. You know what I mean. The folks who listen to us, they're amazing. And in a million ways. But you'll get this. And I just wish I had a better way to kind of extend our influence. So you remember the old commercials where and so on and so on. You tell one person, they tell one person, that so goes 2, 4, 16. Yeah, you got that. So on and so on. Thanksgiving is probably the foundational key to every truly successful person that I know. And if you're scratching your head, I'm glad I'm going to share this with you. And if you're not, then again, that proves I'm preaching to the choir. That in a moment. If you're just joining us, More Than Money, we talk about anything in your financial life and beyond, hence More Than Money. Investments, of course, estate planning, of course, income taxes, of course, business, of course, and anything else that we can be of service to you. That's our agenda. That is our clear agenda. That is our transparent agenda. We want to be of service to you. I absolutely get that there's lots of shows. There's lots of books. Tony Robbins' latest book, Money, was a blatant, absolute, nothing more than a commercial for a half a dozen companies that he has financial interest in. And I'll be perfectly blunt. It so offended me, that one of those companies who approaches our firm on at least every 2 weeks basis to say, hey, we should work together because we do this and you guys are doing this. And I go, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are radio shows, as you well know, that have just no transparency whatsoever. They talk in grandiose terms. They kind of sound like Donald Trump. We're going to win. How are you going to do that? Well, kind of. Hey, we're going to make you money. You're never going to lose. Life is grand. And you're going to dance on somebody's grave. What? They're not transparent. They're not being honest. They don't trust you. Why would you trust them? So I get pretty annoyed. So what does that have to do with Thanksgiving? What has to do with Thanksgiving is very straightforward. To the degree to which you are grateful, you are thankful, you have as Zig Ziglar used to say, an attitude of gratitude. To the degree that you can hold that consistently in your life, you're going to be just wildly successful. Wildly successful. You have an absolute right to be wildly successful. Now, every one of you has a different definition of wildly successful. Donald Trump, if he doesn't make $400, $500, $600 million on a deal, it's like, why am I even doing this? Okay. And for some of us, if we have a little bit of extra time off and spend it with our family, we have a job that we're just absolutely thrilled with because we get to help people on an ongoing basis. We have health and we have friends, perhaps our church. Fantastic. Are you kidding me? What you want to talk about successful? There's just a tremendous, tremendous quality of life. And it all starts with just being thankful. And for a lot of folks, it's kind of a head scratcher. Hey, I want to be thankful, but I also want to be ambitious, you know? Thanks for that 12-pound turkey. I was kind of hoping for a 20-pounder. You know what? No downside in being thankful for exactly what you've got while you are wonderfully expectant, positively expectant for the future. Pretty simple stuff. Most people don't do that. Most people look at the 12-pounder and they go, another yucky year where we only have a 12-pounder. We had a couple of years growing up where we had 12-pounders of Spam. Mom was pretty good, though, at kind of arranging the cubes of Spam so it kind of looked like a turkey. To this day, fried Spam, one of my favorite foods. Fried Spam. Yeah, before you get all high and mighty, you people out there that eat Scrabble, don't be giving me. I was with friends, older friend, a couple newer friends this week, and my older friend ordered for breakfast home fries and Scrabble. And you're going, dude, do you have a grease drain on your leg or something? You could just like, woof. Unbelievable. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Young lady writes, my husband and I are both 68. We're retired. We've seen so many of our friends and family members, including my own mom, lose their health, their independence, and their life savings because they needed to be cared for. We're looking at investing $55,000 each in a single payment life insurance policy. If we would need care, it pays $3,200 a month for 3 years. If we don't use it, our kids get $75,000 at our death, or we can change our minds later and get some or all of our money back. Is this a good idea? Interesting. No shock to anybody who's a regular listener. Of course, the answer starts with, it depends. There's so much about your financial picture here that I simply don't know enough about that I can give you precision answers that I can be 100% confident in. But let me give you some parameters. If the total of $110,000 that you're considering shifting into these programs are assets that you would consider to be unproductive, assets that, for example, they're in the bank, they're in a CD paying you less than 1%, they're in a money market paying you less than 0.25%. Some money markets paying less than 0.1%. If these are assets that you don't need or project that you're going to need in the future to create an income stream or to support an income stream so that you and your husband can stay retired, then we're probably on the right track here. Are you correct in being concerned about the cost of long-term care? Yes. Yes. Now, there's a lot of folks out there hearing $3,200 a month, and they're going, geez, that's not nearly enough. And the answer is that's likely true. It's likely not nearly enough. But, again, we don't know enough. If, for example, you're also receiving Social Security, let's pick a number and call that $2,000 a month. Now you're up to $5,200 a month. What if you're receiving a pension, even if it's, I'm picking a number, $1,000 a month. Now you're up to $6,200 a month. And are you getting pretty close to what a typical long-term care monthly cost might be? Yes. Yes. If, on the other hand, this is your only benefit, then what you're really doing, not a bad thing at all, but what you're really doing is you're taking $55,000 each, currently giving you, in the sad event that you need care, giving you, pick a number, $55,000. It's just that simple. That's all that it is. But you are turning it into $3,200 a month, something $8,000 a year times three. You're turning it into If I'm doing my math right real quickly, $112,000. So you're more than doubling your money in the event that you need care. In the event that you do not, that $55,000 turns into $75,000 death benefit, income tax free, not a bad thing. And later, if you do need the money, if fortunately your health holds, but your money does not, and you need to create some additional income stream, yes, you can get some or all of your money back. So are there some very attractive pieces to this puzzle? The answer is yes. Absolutely yes. Should you be sitting with a qualified, trusted financial advisor to make sure that all your T's are dotted, all your I's are crossed? That didn't come out right. All your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. Goodness. Yes, indeed. That's what I would say. Come on, fella. So I think you're absolutely on the right track to explore this. Now, for the education of everybody listening, including David, who gets educated every week, this type of coverage where you get life insurance, you get long-term care benefits, you get some access, some or a lot of access to the cash in case you need it. This is what's referred to in the industry in many arenas as hybrid insurance, multiple benefits from one insurance contract. They typically come in a couple different forms, either a hybrid with life insurance or a hybrid with an annuity. So they come in a couple different flavors. And depending on your situation and your needs, one might be better than the other. We are very fortunate in the More Than Money family that we have a couple different folks who are helping us through the Ash Brokerage. Ash Brokerage is a nationally based, independent insurance brokerage that represents clients to dozens and dozens and dozens of different insurance companies, life insurance, disability, long-term care coverage, annuity companies, so that they can compare. The last program that we presented to a client this past week, they compared 12 different companies to get the very best numbers. And by the way, you might think, well, you know, they're all competitive, so they're going to be within a few dollars. Oh, my gosh, no. Oh, my gosh, no. Companies can be radically different. Radically different. So bottom line for us is that if you would like to explore that, if you want more information, we're absolutely happy to get that to you. That's easy. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Since I'm announcing the email, it would be wise of me to actually look at the email. That would be wise. Let's see what we have here. Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed. This email is very interesting. It's got a lot of moving parts to it. I'll give it to you as best I can. A gentleman writes he has a question about his mortgage. By the way, we've got this late Friday evening. He had a great Thanksgiving, which is fantastic. Family, great meal. Congratulations. It's great. He has a mortgage, very small balance. He has a year and a half to go on that mortgage. Woo, that's lovely. He has a substantial home equity line of credit. He's 9 years into a variable rate, 30-year HELOC, home equity line of credit. But it was interest only for the first 10 years, and then kicks into a typical, or what he refers to as a regular 20-year mortgage in a year. An important 20-year mortgage at what's referred to as the prevailing rate. So the questions, interest rates seem to be on the rise. Do you think it's wise to try to activate the secondary mortgage a year early and take advantage of a lower rate? Would it be best to stick with the current lender? He tells me who that is. It's a rather well-known organization. Or attempt to get a lower rate with a company such as, and fill in the blanks. There's three or four different suggestions there. And if we decide to do that, is it a good idea to roll the primary mortgage into the HELOC and refinance the entire rate? Interesting. 18 months to go on the primary mortgage. In my opinion, In my opinion, you don't roll that into, you stay on track and you pay that off. You stay on track and pay that off. Now, if you're going to end up refinancing so that this HELOC becomes a mortgage, they're absolutely going to want to be in first position. So if you're refinancing, they want to be in first position. Gene just said you should pay off the first mortgage, $9,000, which you were planning on paying off over a year and a half. So what, 18 into 9 is 4,500, $270 a month, is that right? Can't be. Sorry, my apologies. 18, 1.5, nice, about 6. You're about $500 a month. Yeah, that's right, 500, 18. If you're planning on paying that off over time and you don't have the current resources, could you refi with taking that $9,000 out, paying that first mortgage off, and then accelerating your payments over the next 18 months by adding an extra $500? Sure, you could do that. That's easy. Getting rid of that first mortgage, he tells me the interest rate, nearly 5.75. That's very high compared to current interest rates. So is that a good idea? Yes. Is it a good idea to lock in an interest rate now? I think likely. No one will be able to know. No one, not this gentleman, not me, not the mortgage folks. No one will be able to know if this is the right time until a year from now. So if you do it now, could interest rates rise significantly? Sure. And does that make you smile? Yeah, I guess. Could you do it now, lock it in, and interest rates could stay exactly the same, and you just kind of jump the gun a little bit? Sure. And could you lock it in now and interest rates actually go down? Sure. And would you be like wanting to kick yourself? Got it. The reality is nobody's going to know. So you got to play probability. Since we got no absolute, this is lock solid, it's going to happen exactly this way. Interest rates are absolutely going to go up. We've been saying that for 5 years. By the way, mortgage rates have gone up. A year ago this time, if you had said 30-year mortgage rate, I would have said 3.25. Recently, 3.75 to 4. So even though there's been no announcement that mortgage rates are higher, they are. Even though there's been no Federal Reserve pronouncement, hey, we're raising interest rates, that's kind of the litmus test, folks looking for, the media, press conference. Interest rates go up and down following cycles, driven by the market on a day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year basis. So no one the fixed income side of life, bonds, mortgages, money markets, CDs, etc., they don't wait for the Fed. Now, are they influenced by the Fed? Sure. But they don't wait for the Fed. So, by the way, back to what I think is one of the most important questions, and it's kind of stuck in the middle. Should I stick with my current lender or attempt to get a lower rate with fill in the blanks, 3, 4, 5 different companies? The answer is you absolutely should be looking at competitors. Either online or with a phone call, you can gauge, comparison shop, oh my gosh, 5, 6, 7 different companies in an hour? In an hour and a quarter? Hour and a half? And is it absolutely possible that one of those companies is going to come up with a much better rate than your current lender? Sure. Is it absolutely possible your current lender goes, now, wait a second, I want to keep you. We're going to give you a great deal. Sure. How do you know? You got to ask the question. Comparison shopping always was, always will be a very wise thing to do. Does that make sense? Gosh, I hope so. I worked hard on that. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. One of the questions that we've been getting consistently in the office as we do financial reviews with our clients, and as many of you know, our More Than Money advisors, myself included, meet with our clients, talk with our clients often, frequently. Our litmus, our guide is every 90 days. Every client, every 90 days. Some clients, they try to wiggle away. We grab them. You're going to talk to me, I'm telling you right now. Even if it's only about, how about those Golden State Warriors? 17 in a row. How about those 70s? Oh, sorry. How about those Eagles? Boy, can they. Oh, my word. Chip Kelly, I'm thinking, I wouldn't be looking for a 30-year mortgage on your house in Philly, Chip. I'd be I'd be renting if I were you. I'm just saying. Oh, goodness gracious. Bottom line, lots of opportunity. Opportunity is a good word. 610-720-7900, email. Oh, goodness. I lost my husband in September. God bless you. He handled all the finances, and I'm now just getting my feet under me with the help of my daughter. I've been told by my pastor that I should wait to make any major financial decisions. I'm just afraid that I might be missing something important. Any guidance you would give me would be greatly appreciated. Well, my first bit of guidance is God bless you. And remember that God does bless you. It's natural as humans that at difficult times we tend to forget. We tend to forget how much God does bless us. Some of the most magnificent blessings I have received in my life came in the guise of, this is a tragedy. This is a terrible, terrible thing. And then a year later, you look back and go, wow, thank God that happened. Here are a couple things that you should be aware of, having lost your husband. If your husband was over age 70 and had an IRA and was taking his RMDs, if he did not already, you must make sure that you take that out before the end of the year, 12/31. You've got to make sure you do that. So even though your pastor is typically correct in that you should take your time on most financial decisions, certain things you really need to do. So that's certainly very, very important. Make sure that you're consulting with a trusted tax advisor. If your husband's estate was significant, you've got 9 months to make sure that you're locking in his estate exemption with yours. Now, significant. $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, not $500,000. $500,000, you don't really have anything to worry about. If you're planning on selling your home, you've got to get your ducks in line there as well, because there are some windows of opportunity where you can save on taxes, income taxes, if you time the sale of your home correctly, if necessary. So that's something, again, a tax advisor would want you to look at. And be very careful about life insurance. For the most part, benefits from life insurance are tax exempt, but there are certain circumstances, rare indeed, but there are circumstances where they may be taxable, and that's got to be determined as quickly as possible. 610-720-7900, you just gave me two fingers? You know what? Let's do one that we can do simply. Is that Slater? Let's go to Slater. Slater, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you. I understand you have a pretty straightforward question.
Yeah. Why would you keep me from being a client?
Is that something we have done, or you're worried we might do?
No, it's something you have done.
Okay. Accepting clients at more than money is simply an issue of chemistry. And a lot of financial advisors are out there right now hearing that, and they're kind of scratching their head, just as some clients would as well, or prospective clients. We accept about half of the folks who come through our door, maybe just a little bit more, 55%, maybe 60%. But it's got nothing to do with the amount of money that's to be invested. It has a great deal to do with the chemistry with the financial advisor. Our goal with every new prospective client is to have a 20-year relationship. If the financial advisor feels that that's an absolute possibility, independent of the amount of money involved, that's fantastic. The client becomes a client. If the 20-year relationship doesn't seem to be in the offing, then likely that was one of the reasons, if not the reason, why they declined having that relationship. Doesn't make it a bad thing, just makes it one of our guidelines as to how we develop our business model. By the way, lots of financial advisors would be happy to take the folks who we say no thank you to. So sorry for the disappointment, but bottom line is it's all about chemistry. Speaking of chemistry, that's the voice of an angel. That's Natalie Merchant saying we've got to go to a break. And we've got Fox Network News to give you information about how to have a great, great weekend. 610-720-7900. We have Robert on hold. We're going to ask him to hold right on through the break. And we'll also have you on hold when we return to More Than Money. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money Radio. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, the Saturday after Thanksgiving Small Business Saturday. Go out and patronize as many small businesses as you possibly can. And we're very, very happy to encourage you to do so. And we're happy to serve you. We have 24 and a half minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. If you've missed any part of it, make sure that you log on Monday or beyond and go to the website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and listen to podcast. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Robert. Robert, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, sir. And to you. How may we serve you?
I have a question about refinancing.
Sure.
I have to refinance in the spring of next year due to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, I have a credit of 640 across the three bureaus, and the problem is I modified my loan back in 2013 when I got divorced due to a culmination of the divorce, and I lost my job. And but how easy is it going to be for me to refinance with a credit rating of 640?
While there's going to be, there's going to be a challenge. There's no question. Everybody's talking about higher credit ratings. And there's no question that the credit scores are extremely important. A lot of the commercials, actually, I find them kind of amusing. They keep talking about my credit score's up and it's 790 and it's 805 and it's fantastic. Most folks do not have credit scores at 790, 800, 805. They don't. So if the only people who were getting mortgages were folks who had extremely high credit scores, the mortgage companies would be out of business. So we know that you can get a mortgage. We know you can get refied. The question will be what company will give you that best opportunity? Now, I'm going to be very honest with you, and it may be because I'm old. And I've been around a long time, and I've been in the Lehigh Valley forever, and I love the Lehigh Valley, and I love the way Lehigh Valley businesses treat their clients. They treat them like neighbors. So am I a big fan of going online to a faceless organization? No, particularly not in your circumstance, because what you really need to be able to do is exactly what you did with me. You start with, I've got this number, but here's why. And the why is really, really important. And the only way, the only time you're going to get to why is if you're talking to a real human being face to face here in the Lehigh Valley. So from my standpoint, maybe tune into Gunter's show on a Monday morning, and because he's got three or four sponsors that are fantastic folks who offer mortgages to folks. I would talk to them. I would certainly, I would shop around. I would make some phone calls. I would be very upfront. I would be very, very clear with folks what the challenges are. But I certainly wouldn't put myself in a position where I'm kind of going, you know, kind of in a sense feeling like I'm begging. You're not. You're a normal, okay, normal human being that has gone through an unfortunate challenge, but you're coming out the other side, and you're perfectly able and willing to pay your mortgages. So yeah, I would start with somebody local, but I would do my homework. I would shop around and check back with us. Let me know how you make out, and if we can, maybe we can help out a little bit.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for the advice. I will take the advice.
Thank you, sir.
Definitely. Thank you.
Take care. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. I want to circle back to a call we took just before the break, where it was a question about why wouldn't a More Than Money advisor take a particular client? It's an unusual set of circumstances. I absolutely understand that most financial advisory firms would find mystifying. Now, in the particular case of the caller that we were speaking to, I spoke off air, totally different circumstances, totally different issue. He is not in the category of it just doesn't fit. There are other issues there, and we're going to fix that. But it doesn't change the scenario. And the scenario is that folks come through our door, and as you might expect, we're in the Holy Lands because we're easily accessible. And because of the radio show and the TV show, and I read a newsletter, and I'm out in the public, and a lot of folks come through the door, and they're very, you know, interested in becoming part of our More Than Money family, in the sense that we become their financial advisors. And a lot of firms, a lot of people are surprised to find that we don't accept everyone. A lot of financial advisors have very clear standards. You have a checkbook and you have a pulse. You're my new client and my new favorite client because you're my new client. And for a lot of advisors, salesmen, you absolutely can understand why they would feel that way, because they have no intention of hanging with you for any length of time at all. The only thing that would allow that would encourage them to hang with you for a long period of time is if they think you got more money coming. Hey, we're going to stick you into something where we made a 5%, 6%, 7%, 8% commission, and then see ya. Because what else do we have to talk about? Oh, you have more money. Welcome back to the 5%, 6%, 7%, 8% commission company. As opposed to financial advisors. Now, financial advisors, my opinion, fiduciaries. Gunther used the word earlier. He has no idea what it means. Just telling you. And I'm not going to tell him. Exactly. He has a dictionary. Or is it? Nobody has a dictionary anymore, do they? Just look it up on Wikipedia. Bottom line is for financial advisors, fiduciaries, advisors who are putting their clients' best interest first, they have a different standard. In my opinion, I could be wrong, I'm not, but in my opinion, your best interests are served by a financial advisor that you not only trust, but that you have a long, deep, personal relationship with. Wow, sounds a bit like a marriage. Yeah. Except there's a lot of stuff we ain't doing for you. A long, deep, trusting relationship means you're going to put a lot of time in. We're going to understand you. We're going to ask a lot of questions. We're not just interested in what's your balance in your checkbook. We're interested in what are your financial goals? Where does your family fit into all this? What legacy do you want to leave behind? What are your dreams? What's on your bucket list? What kind of fears keep you awake at night? Now, there's an interesting question. For some folks, nothing. Sleep like a baby. That's one approach that, that would create an investment portfolio that would look very different than I worry about everything. Sleep at night? I haven't slept at night in 15 years. We want to know all that stuff. And because we are committing a substantial amount of time and effort and resource to a long-term relationship, again, our gold standard is, do we see ourselves working with this individual for 20 years? If that's the standard, then you got to be very, very careful about the folks that you accept as clients. From a chemistry standpoint, from a relationship standpoint, do we have folks who come through the door who absolutely they fit us like a hand in glove? Oh yeah, and they're wonderful, and they become part of our family. And then are there other folks who come through the door, and you got to really struggle. You got to really kind of think: is this a situation where I can develop this relationship long term, or not? Which is why, and at one point we were accepting about one out of every three clients. I think right now we're probably one out of two. So it's getting better. It's getting better. But that still leaves a lot of folks. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. Doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means that we don't fit. In your dating career, you dated a lot of really nice people who you did not marry. Yeah, hopefully. That's a very good, hopefully. No, I married everyone. Okay. See? You're proving my point. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. My husband recently retired, and we're getting our ducks in a row for the second half of our life. Second half? Cool. I like the way this person's thinking. One of my concerns is that we own many, many, many shares of the company where he used to work. Nearly half of our savings is in those shares. I suggested we need to sell some of the stock, but my husband says we'll be killed on taxes. Is there a way to sell these shares and not get killed on taxes? All right, just to be clear, the IRS doesn't actually kill you to take the money. I know it feels that way sometimes. Feels that way. The answer is yes. And then maybe better than yes. Here's the point. Let me make sure. Oh, I do have it. Oh, I'm even better prepared than I thought. If you are married, and they are, she said husband, so they're married, so I'm looking at the right chart. And you have a joint income, joint taxable income, of under $75,000. Pretty reasonable number. Your capital gains rate is zero. What? A lot of folks are not aware. Capital gains rates, folks say, I know capital gains rates are 20%. No, they're not. The top bracket, it, for married couples who have taxable income above $465,000, so a substantial sum of money, capital gains rate is 23.8%. Ouch. The next lower bracket, it's 18.8%, about 20. For folks married, filing jointly, who have taxable income up to 250 grand, that's a lot of money. The capital gains rate is 15%. About what? A third less than the top rate. So you may be sitting here saying, I don't want to get killed on taxes. Now, everybody has a different definition of killed. For me, if Uncle Sam gets a dollar, I'm getting killed, because that's my opinion of the federal government. I don't want them to have even a dollar of my money. So anything more than like nothing is, I'm getting killed. But for a lot of folks, they're going, are you kidding me? I thought the tax bracket was 20, 30, 40%. I thought we were literally going to get killed. If you make a very substantial sum of money as a married couple, recently retired, under 250 grand, your tax bracket is 15%. If you have taxable income under 74,000, it's zero. You might very well be able, you and your husband, of course, might very well be able to diversify out of all of these shares in the company stock, even though they produce a significant profit, may produce a significant profit. We're making that assumption. At zero or very low tax bracket. Is it a good idea, in my opinion, from the limited amount that you've told me, to diversify out when you have half of your life savings in one company? Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Now, you'll notice she does not tell me what company it is. You say, doesn't that really have a huge impact if it were PPL versus Little Jimmy's Butcher Shop and Wedding Emporium? No, it really doesn't. That has very little influence over my opinion, because every company that you think is absolutely bulletproof, I'm here to tell you, it isn't. It absolutely isn't. ESPN, biggest brand name in sports, arguably. Yeah, their sales are way down. Owned by, anybody know who owns ESPN? Disney? Absolutely. Disney stock suffering because ESPN is way down. Can you ever imagine a world without Disney? I can't. I really can't. So is that pretty close to bulletproof? Maybe. Apple? Can you imagine a world without Apple? Actually, that one's easier. Yeah, I can. I can. I can imagine a world without Microsoft in a heartbeat, because as big a company as they are, when was the last time you went, hey, did you see the really cool thing from Microsoft? Decades. It's been decades. So I'm not really getting it. Volkswagen, until 6 months ago, you're going, one of the best brands on the planet. And then they go, oops. All right, we might have just might have tinkered. We might have fussed a little. Oh, those computer chips, aren't they crazy? So it doesn't matter what the name is. It literally doesn't matter to me. Now, it may matter to them. They may be looking at a company that because he worked there, he knows this company's shaky. This company's fantastic. Share price now, but I don't think it's going to hang. That's a totally different issue. It's a totally different, we are not commenting on whether you should sell the stock because it's high, low, or in the middle. Don't know, don't care. Should you have half of your retirement in any one stock of any one company? I don't think so. I think that's a bad idea. What's the limit? You know what, if you're much above 10, I get pretty shaky. I get significantly nervous. So if they're half, they've got to get rid of 80% of their stock to get it down to 10. Now, does that have to happen immediately? That depends. That depends so much. It depends. It depends on the company. Now we're back to, is it a good time to sell? Is it a bad time to sell? Is there some overarching issue that's got us concerned about that company? Because if the answer is, and I'm just picking a name out of thin air, Disney, pick Disney. Does Disney stock go up and down? Sure. Over time, it tends to go higher. It has an upward tilt to the chart. But does it go up and down? Sure. But do I worry that if I don't sell it today, that in January it's going to be bankrupt? Not particularly. Now, for those of you who follow stocks, you may have a different opinion. And you may be far closer to right than I, because I don't do stock analysis. That's job for somebody else. But bottom line is that if you've got half of your life savings that you intend to live on for the next 40 years in one company, are you taking too much risk? I think you are. Can you sell a piece or a great deal of that off and pay little or no income tax? I think you can. Can you spread that out over time so that maybe you sell a piece of it soon in 2015 tax year, another piece soon after January 1st, so now that's 2016 tax year. Maybe you push it off to 2017. Maybe you look at diversifying down to 10% of your portfolio over a 4 or a 5 or a 6 year period if you have great confidence in the company, or if you don't, maybe over a 4 or 5 6 month period. So all that kind of makes sense? I hope so. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. Email, my husband and I are both 60. We plan on retiring at 66. I understand I can collect my spousal benefits then, and he can wait until 70 to get the most of his benefits. Then I would get his benefit when he dies. Is all this correct? Sadly, no. It was correct up until about a month and a half ago. And then the Republican weenies got together with the Socialist Democrats and decided that they were going to change dramatically how Social Security benefits are handled. The strategy of file and suspend, which is what you're referring to. Your husband files at age 66, suspends his payments, doesn't accept them, allows them to continue to grow until 70. But that would have permitted you to start taking your spousal benefits. The answer is that is now eliminated with the new budget agreement that the weenie Republicans teaming up with the Socialist Democrats gave to the American public and locked us in for the next 2 years. So sadly, that is not the case. Now, what is the case, fortunately, is that if your husband does wait until age 70, that maxes out his Social Security benefits. It also maxes out your survivor benefit. At his passing, you would get 100% of the maximum number of dollars. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Paul. Paul, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
Well, I want to. I'm 75. My wife is 70. She's retired. I'm semi-retired. I have a little business, but we have some money that we don't need to live on, and we're both in the realm where we have the required distribution.
Sure.
But what we'd like to do with some of this money, because we had it in CDs, 5% CDs, if you can believe that,
yeah.
And they've matured, however.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought about an annuity to generate some income with it, because we're more concerned with the legacy of it for our heirs.
Okay.
And I wondered, maybe you give me some direction on annuities.
Sure. Now, if you're really going to focus on legacy, which is giving your heirs some substantial capital with some serious tax advantages, an annuity is not likely the direction you're going to go. Mm-hmm. You may very well want to look at a single premium life insurance contract.
Mm-hmm.
The proceeds from an annuity will be taxable to your heirs. The proceeds from a life insurance contract can be constructed in a way that they are not taxable, tax-free to your heirs. So I would absolutely have you sit with a financial advisor that's very familiar with annuities, very familiar with the current trends in life insurance, because you might want to actually team up, you and your wife, and do what's called a second-to-die policy, which is actually life insurance on two people, and mm-hmm. then the legacy kicks in when both of you have gone to the great reward. So mm-hmm. annuities have some opportunity, but from the limited amount that we just discussed, I think a life insurance contract may have better opportunity. Mm-hmm. In about a minute or so, I'm going to be giving contact information to everyone listening to the show. Jot it down, give us a call on Monday, and we'll get you a good referral.
Okay, that's very good. I will do that. I'd never thought of that. Now, just one question with that'll be answered by the advisor, I'm sure. But is it just a one payment type thing?
You can absolutely okay. do a single premium life contract. Make it as simple as
possible. Okay, single premium. Okay.
Paul, thank you for the call.
We'll call you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, sir. For Paul and for everybody listening who had some questions or have some more information they'd like to receive, no cost, no obligation, no pressure. It's easy to do. Reach out to us. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and contact us that way. And, of course, you can absolutely call locally, 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. This weekend, leave a message, technology working the way it does. And if you want to talk to a real live terrific human being, call us Monday through Friday from 8:30 in the morning until 4:30, 5, 5:30, 6. We're always there in the afternoon, and we're happy to serve you in any way that we're able. Again, 610-746-7007. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope we'll see you all next week in the world headquarters of More Than Money in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.